Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, June 4th, 2013, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. As you may know, we just completed our spring crystal quest to Hot Springs, and tonight we'll be sharing stories from the people who were there. Every person who attended has very specific star markings which identify them as members of a soul group with the rites of passage for supporting the crystal grid, working with crystals, and retrieving Atlantean crystals. The people who were there stepped up to their promise to come together to work on behalf of the crystal grid, and their combined energies left an imprint of empowerment on the land, and they were empowered as well. We honor and thank them for their alignment in this work and for coming this evening to share their stories. Also this evening, we're going to have a brief visit from our dear sister Meg Benedicte to let you know about her new teleseminar series on 5D quantum living. Her work is so empowering, and it's always a pleasure to have her on the show. And at the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails from our listeners. We'd like to thank Chris for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with comments or questions. The number to dial is 917-889-8292, and remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air, and you might want to wait until after we have heard all of our Crystal Quest stories before you press 1. And then remember to click follow on our show page if you like the show. If you're joining us for the first time, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where you can find a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. And the entire site has been coded for Starseed activation. We have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. And we'd like to thank Rose and Tammy for their great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed Forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go, or you can download them right from our show page archives. And we'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions with Tammy are also available. And if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow at least 2 weeks ahead of your birthday to make sure you get your timing in time. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Good evening, ladies. How are you doing?
Lavendar here. Well, I'd like to say that, you know, getting back from this trip to from Hot Springs, Arkansas, was heaven sent. I'm so glad that I flew that day, because had I been driving the day that the Oklahoma City tornado hit, I would have been right in Oklahoma City at 3 p.m. So it was really, you know, some kind of divine action that put me on that airplane instead of driving. I did want to say that. So, Anastasia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I'm in agreement with you, Lavendar. That was just a great blessing. We're all glad that you did what you did and followed that guidance and all of that. That's just incredible. So
Richard just came in a while ago and told me that that the next tornado, 2 weeks later, El Reno, was the largest ever recorded on the planet. It was 2 miles wide.
That's in the news tonight, Lavendar.
Well, Let's have the news.
Well, you tell it. That's a great. Okay. But that's one of the subjects tonight. That is just astonishing what's been going on across the planet. In fact, oh, hi, Ariel, by the way.
Hello.
didn't mean to ignore you there. There's just so much going on. I was contemplating this evening that I think we need a Starseed Nightly News show. There is so much happening. And I want to start out, of course, as I usually do, by talking about space. And you all may not be aware of this, but something very interesting happened just a few days ago. Earth's magnetic field was calming down as of June 1st, following nearly 15 hours of nonstop geomagnetic storming. Now, this storminess was caused by the arrival of an interplanetary shockwave that happened on May 31st, and the source of this shockwave is unknown. They do not know what caused this interplanetary shockwave. Fascinating. Photon belt, anyone?
Uh-huh.
So a lot of things happening up there, a lot of powerful things going on. We live in truly interesting times. And, you know, those of us that are sensitive, we're feeling some pretty bizarre energies during that time. So not only we had some X-class flares and some oddities from the sun, but this interplanetary shockwave should raise our eyebrows, and we should be paying attention. Something is definitely going on in the galactic phase of things. And also, the massive asteroid just flew by the planet, and it has a moon, by the way. It's asteroid 1998 QE2, and along with its moon, came by the Earth at the end of May, 5.8 million kilometers away. It's a 2.7-kilometer-wide asteroid. It's now receding. But ironically, it's going to become easier to see in the coming nights. It's turning its sunlight side toward the Earth, so it's growing brighter as it recedes. And at maximum brightness, even tonight, it's supposed to shine as brightly as a 10th or 11th magnitude star, and it's an easy target for mid-sized backyard telescopes. So those of you that are sky watchers, you should be able to catch it tonight. And also, along with the oddities, we have a lot of noctilucent clouds that have been appearing across the planet, particularly northern Europe. These are night-shining clouds. Now, they form near the top of the Earth's polar atmosphere when water vapor from the planet mixes with meteor debris from space. Now, noctilucent clouds are on the definite marked increase across the planet, as are the fireballs. There is definitely a correlation between meteor activity in our atmosphere and noctilucent clouds. Now, they say if you want to look west 30 to 60 minutes after sunset, when the sun has dipped to about 16 degrees below the horizon, noctilucent clouds can and might be seen in our country as far south as Utah, Colorado, and Nebraska. So if you see any luminous white tendrils spreading across the sky, you've probably spotted a noctilucent cloud. And very interesting stuff connected to meteors. And speaking of that, there was a meteor spotted over Florence, South Carolina. Reports about a meteor flying over Florence. And according to the American Meteor Society, there were more than 50 witnesses that reported a large fireball over Ohio on May 30th. Now, this was primarily seen from Ohio and Indiana, but witnesses from Kentucky, West Virginia, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina also reported sightings of this meteor. Okay, now on to what Lavendar was talking about. The tornado that hit Oklahoma last week was a record-breaking 2 miles wide. Of course, it killed 9 and injured about 50 people near Oklahoma City, but it's been rated at top of the scale EF5, the National Weather Service has reported. Now, actually, the width of it was 2.6 miles, double the size of the 1.3 mile wide tornado that devastated Moore, Oklahoma last month. Now, there have been only 8 tornadoes rated an EF5 in Oklahoma since 1950, meaning a quarter of them have hit near Oklahoma City in the past 2 weeks alone. So what is going on, folks? This is just fascinating times. And something else that is very interesting that I had just found on the internet came from the Smithsonian Smart News blog, that there is now occurring a slow motion 7.0 earthquake that has dragged on for 5 months under New Zealand.
What?
Now, how is that possible?
I've never heard of a slow motion earthquake.
Yes, well, it is. It was reported by New Zealand's GeoNet, which is a public-private partnership that monitors the island's seismic activity. They put up a blog post. that described this interesting event that they have just discovered. They said that since January, and still ongoing, the city of Wellington, New Zealand, has most decidedly not been shaken by a magnitude 7-point earthquake, but if you track the ground movement as they have done by satellite, they say that is the size of the seismic energy that's been released underground. Now, not all tectonic shifts occur violently. Some plates move with such little friction that the resulting energy is released in ways that are barely perceptible, and slow-slip earthquakes tend to happen at subduction zones when the plates get stuck as they slide past each other. But rather than releasing the energy in a sudden lurch, the tension goes through a period of smooth motion that can last for weeks or even months, as it has been doing now under New Zealand. Now, New Zealand sits on top of a fault where the Pacific plate slides under the Australian plate, and there are at least four regions in that area that undergo slow slip quakes, and all of four of them, they say, experience these very regularly. Now, the thing that we need to be concerned about is that when, even though they can't notice it on the ground, the fact is that these do distribute stress to the neighboring faults, and some of those faults won't release gently. So the activity, they say, is worth keeping an eye on because it's going to cause friction and it's going to cause violent action somewhere on the planet. But that's what's going on. Isn't that fascinating? Now, they were able to find that through their new instrumentation and through satellite observance of the land. Well, you know, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about our problems in society. Pathology on a corporate level, government level, social level. We want to talk a little bit about what's happening. I'm going to start tonight about Walmart. And Walmart was fined $110 million for dumping toxic chemicals in California. Now, here's a corporation who, you know, supposedly prides itself in its squeaky image. But Walmart was hit with $110 million in U.S. and federal state fines Tuesday after pleading guilty to criminal charges of mishandling hazardous waste and pesticides at its retail stores and for dumping hazardous chemicals in city trash bins and sewer systems. In addition, the U.S. Justice Department said Walmart stores had mishandled pesticides it had sent as damaged products to a Missouri recycling facility that resulted in them being mixed together and put on sale again in a process that violated federal laws regarding pesticide processing. And Walmart pleaded guilty to six misdemeanor counts of violating the Clean Water Act in California, and in the Missouri case, one charge of violating the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, personally, I don't shop at Walmart, but there you have it. That's a story that's important. And also, you know, we're all into alternative energy, and I've often been fascinated by solar energy. I think it's a great idea, solar panels and all that. But guess what's happening in the solar industry?
Hmm.
Consumers have become very anxious because it is now coming forth that the panels that they're purchasing at a very high price are proving to be markedly defective. Now, for example, this story came out of Los Angeles, and the story reads, and by the way, this is out of the New York Times, the story reads in part that the solar panels covering a vast warehouse roof in the sun-soaked Inland Empire east of Los Angeles were only 2 years into their expected 25-year lifespan when they began to fail. Coatings that protect the panels disintegrated, and other defects caused two fires that took the system offline for 2 years, costing the buyers of these panels hundreds of thousands of dollars in lost revenues. Now, this isn't an isolated incident. They are finding that testing labs across the world are reporting similar problems and say that the $77 billion solar industry is facing a quality crisis, just as solar panels are on the verge of widespread adoption. In fact, sales have been going up. The majority of sales have occurred last year in 2012. Half of the numbers of solar panels since they've been constructed were sold last year. Now, no one is saying that they know, you know, what is exactly wrong with the problem because there's no industry-wide figures about that are being kept. In other words, there's no accountability. And once the defects are discovered, the confidentiality agreements keep the manufacturer's identity secret. So it's really hard to pinpoint this. Now, they have traced some of it to China. They say most of the concerns over quality center on China, which makes most of the world's solar panels, and they're not doing a very good job. They say that, like, you know, you pay for these, they tell you when you buy them, that after a certain number of years, 15, 25 years, however long it is, that the solar panels will pay for themselves when, in fact, they're blitzing out after a couple of years. So any of you considering buying solar panels, I wanted you to know that that is what's going on, and that is a fact.
Well, that's the ones that come from China. There's got to be some companies that are doing a good job.
They say that actually, you know, they're pointing fingers at China, but actually it involves solar panels made all over the world. So there isn't really one company that is exempt from possible, let's say, you know, culpability or accountability. So we need to be very careful and do a lot of research before you buy these panels, unless you want to be putting out a lot of money and then replacing them again in a couple of years.
Right, so you make sure that the fine print has some amount of responsibility.
Right, warranty or something.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think we all need to know this, because I was actually considering that myself. So we need to do our homework, and we need to find out what, you know, what's out there and what kinds of resources we really do have that are reliable. And this is really endemic in our country and across the world. We're finding failure in products all over the planet because of the failure of systems. Less accountability, more greed, more secrecy, more corporate rule, less, let's say, populist concern is leading to defects in all areas of our lives, whether it's food poisoning, bad products, cars that won't break, they won't start, you can't steer them, solar panels that break down. I mean, it goes on and on and on. You know, we could talk for a whole program about that. And so, you know, it's good for us to be mindful that we are part of a generation that has been inculcated to, you know, purchase to buy, to consume, to, you know, signs of success and status. And really, everything around us is indicating just the opposite. We need to think about living minimally. We need to probably consider frequenting the secondhand stores, buying used items, growing our own gardens, being more self-reliant, and pursuing ideas and ways to be self-sufficient apart from the system, which is coming apart in front of our eyes. It really is disintegrating, and it's picking up. I mean, the rapidity of this is astonishing. But on a positive note, I want to say that they have found something marvelous about copper cookware. Now, I love to cook with copper, and I had no idea that substituting copper for steel in the kitchen can combat illness on a global scale. A new study suggests that substituting copper for steel in the kitchen will actually eliminate foodborne illness. There are salmonella strains of bacteria that do not flourish on copper. So salmonella, is one of the causes of foodborne illness. But when you use copper equipment, studies have shown that it kills the bacteria. Copper produces a residue that is toxic to certain strains of bacteria, including E. coli, by the way. Isn't that fascinating?
Wow.
And so this may be a whole new industry for food safety if we had copper countertops, copper cookware. It would be a good thing to do. Now, people in third world countries often use copper to cook, and they have reported that, you know, they cook their food, they put it in their pots, they leave it sit all day, and anecdotal stories say that they never got sick. People in third world countries that use copper to cook with don't get foodborne illness. Well, there's the reason why. So I think that's interesting. Copper is good to cook with. And, you know, going on in Japan, there's something that has outraged people. It's an unbelievable story. We can't think of any reason to kill endangered animals. But a company in Japan has been found out to be killing fin whales to make novelty dog treats. And this has just caused an outrage around the planet. A group of environmental people led by the UK-based Environmental Investigation Agency is reporting that the Japanese luxury pet food company called Michikuku Farms has stopped the sale of its fin whale juice for dogs after news that they were killing endangered whales. And they also happen to offer pooch treats made from kangaroo and Mongolian horse meat, but they're not making the fin whale chews available any longer simply because of public outrage. And so this is an example of what can happen. You know, where is accountability? Where is conscience? When we look at our society on a worldwide scale, you know, it's all about the bottom line is about the dollar. And but when we get together as people and we create outcries, we can put a stop to some of this stuff. And that's what's happened. No more fin whale treats for dogs are being made, apparently. And I want to take the news to Egypt. You know, there is a lot of things happening in Egypt. And Lavendar was there many years ago. It's a place we like to go. But lawlessness has become so endemic in Egypt that the U.S. Embassy this week warned Americans to stay away from the pyramids. They say that in recent months it's become almost unbearable, that it feels like an openly criminal environment right now. There is not visible security, and in some cases the security are working with the vendors or scam artists or are sexually harassing female foreigners quite openly. And they say if you visit Egypt in the near future, don't even think of going to the pyramids unless you're on a large organized bus tour. They say it's just not safe. And this warning came out from the embassy. And so they say that most of the attacks are conducted by the Muslims, whatever, that's what they're saying. But Egypt is in turmoil. And another story out of Egypt, because of the tremendous hunger and even starvation that has occurred in Egypt since their revolt, the Egyptians now are beginning to eat songbirds. Now, since the time of the pharaohs, Egyptians have put up nets every autumn along the Mediterranean Sea to capture, you know, golden orioles, nightingales, other kinds of birds. It was a tradition in ancient times, but recently it has gotten out of hand because they are killing upwards of 10 million migratory birds every year. They're doing this because the people are starving to death. So they're raising massive numbers of nets to catch these songbirds for food. So the revolution created an economic crisis and is now having a huge environmental impact as well. So we're seeing a lot of suffering from people and, you know, the ecology because of, again, money. So 10 million birds a year. And the Egyptians say they can't do anything about it because the people are so hungry and the climate is so unstable that this is just, you know, the way it is. It's kind of the law of the jungle. So I'm sure you're all familiar with what happens in hospitals. We've a lot of heard about hospital-acquired infections. And I wanted to talk to you for just a second tonight about MRSA and VRSA. Now, these are infections that usually are acquired in a healthcare setting. But I wanted to bring a point up to Starseed that if you are in a hospital, if you are being treated by a medical professional in a doctor's office, be very certain that any healthcare professional that touches you washes their hands thoroughly every single time. You know, you may see them come into the room. They may put on gloves without washing to draw blood or to do a procedure. Stop that person and tell them to wash their hands before they glove up. Between 25 and 30% of people carry Staph A on their skin, and it, you know, generally it's harmless, but it can be incredibly harmful if it's carrying the right gene. Now, the genes in that bacterium will determine whether or not it secretes an enzyme or protein that creates a toxin that causes people to become very, very ill. And these particular bacteria have become very resistant to methicillin and to other types of antibiotics, and I'm sure most of you have heard of that. And there's also a study out now that indicates that this MRSA transmission, it moves from animals to humans and from humans to animals. And so now it's time, again, to question the use of antibiotics in livestock. You know, there again, we're having a repercussion on the microbial level because of the things that we're doing in our bigger 3D reality. And so just remember that even though this is becoming a really prevalent problem, I mean, it's serious, that, you know, we all need to wash our hands frequently. When you go out and you go to the market, you're handling carts, whatever, anytime you go out of the house, wash your hands when you come in. Make sure that any healthcare worker who touches you washes their hands first. That's all really important stuff, good for health. Now, I want to thank the Starseed listeners that sent me some wonderful articles for this week's show. And the following article comes from a Starseed listener named Kathy, and it was pulled from RiseEarth.com. That's a nice website. But the article is about the Internet monitoring system to stalk social media users who question the safety of vaccines. Now, it goes on to say that if you post articles to your Facebook that warns others about the dangers of vaccines or tweet the latest links to the studies tying vaccines to autism through Twitter, the vaccine pushers of the world could soon know about it in real time. Now, according to these new reports, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation back scientists in both the United States and Great Britain, and they've jointly developed a computerized global monitoring system capable of tracking all social media activity around the world that defies mainstream vaccine dogma and reporting it back directly to authorities. The new multinational Big Brother spying is being hailed as a solution to the rapid spread of so-called rumors and lies about vaccines via the Internet, which basically constitute any online free speech that questions the safety or effectiveness of vaccines. Now, according to mainstream authorities, vaccines are completely safe and effective in every way, and anything that defies this unsubstantiated proclamation is now officially considered to be misinformation by the global police state. Now, according to these experts, that people thinking for themselves, and in other words, discussing legitimate vaccine safety concerns online, is a threat to the establishment and is a need for the all-seeing eye. And this has come out of the UK, by the way. The London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, I apparently had something to do with developing this tracking system. There's a lot of things coming out of the UK that are of great concern, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we start to wrap up tonight's show. There was an incident with a five-year-old in... Now, we've all heard about what's going on in the schools. You know, have you heard about this, Ariel Lavendar? Kids taking little cap guns to school or making the sign of a gun with their fingers, being pulled out of school, being suspended. You've heard about that, right?
No.
Oh, man. Well, I hate to put you on the spot there, but it's really been in the news a lot, and our Starseed listeners may be aware of that. In the last number of months, perhaps 6 months or so, there's been an escalated series of events where little children, kindergarten, preschool children, that play cowboys and Indians on the playground, or that make the sign of a gun with their fingers and go boom boom you're dead or whatever, you know, they're pulling them out of school, they're punishing them, and in certain cases they're arresting them. Well, recently a five-year-old child was interrogated for 2 hours, and then he was suspended because he had taken a cap gun on a school bus. Wow, this is just really, really concerning. Now, you know, if I were a parent right now, I would tell my child not to take a cap gun to school because of the climate. It's extremely paranoid and overreactive. All common sense is being suspended. But nevertheless, having said that, it still does not negate the issue that we have with administration in schools that are punishing these very little children and going to extreme measures. And I know there's a lot of parents out there that are aware of this. But this five-year-old boy wanted to take this cap gun. It was a brand-new toy. He put it in his backpack because he really, really wanted his friend to see it. And when they found and discovered that he had the gun, they pulled him into the principal's office and interrogated him for 2 solid hours, 5 years old. What can you talk to a five-year-old boy about for 2 hours about having a cap gun in his backpack that he wanted to show his friend? They traumatized the little boy so long that he wet his pants. And so, you know, this suspension is the latest in a series of headline-making punishments for kids who bring toy guns or gun-like objects to school. Even if they draw a picture of a gun on a piece of paper, they're being punished. So we're seeing draconian measures, crackdown of freedoms, and some really scary tactics by the establishment to really determine children's futures and indoctrinate them in the ways of, you know, what the establishment wants them to think, crippling of creativity and treating small children like criminals. And this is the most important story that I've saved for the last tonight, and then we'll be done. And this is connected to the story that I just told you about. And I just couldn't believe this, and you're all going to be astonished. But in Scotland, they have decided that every child will now have a state guardian from birth. Every child in Scotland is to be assigned a state minder from birth under these draconian new proposals that will enable the government to spy on families under the justification of preventing child abuse. Last week, the Scottish government's plan to give every child a state guardian from birth was launched. The state-appointed overseer will be a specific named individual, and every child will have one from the time he or she is born. The responsibility for creating this named guardian will fall on the heads of the health boards for the first 5 years of a child's life before being transferred to councils. The program is a statutory initiative built into the Children and Young People Bill. That's actually a legislation. Children's Minister Eileen Campbell justified the proposal by asserting it would make sure that there is someone having an overview of what is happening to that child to make sure that early indicators of anything that would pose a threat or risk to that child are flagged up. Now, people can speculate on what kind of behavior would eventually be deemed as child abuse, since we are finding now that schools and social workers and other government appointed people are deciding that a child's lunch is not good, or maybe they, you know, a redefinition of bullying to include a parent raising their voices at their child. And top judges in the UK are also calling on the government to intervene to remove children from criminal families at birth. This is called family intervention projects. Now, a lot of you are not aware of what's going on in the UK because I haven't been covering it. But I assure you there has been tremendous, astonishing government overreach interfering with the rearing of children by families. I could go on and on. There is story after story, absolutely outrageous things occurring in the UK. Now, the idea of having a government social worker assigned to spy on every family through the child is just an abhorrent notion. And it would normally we would expect that in nations, you know, that are despotic like North Korea or, you know, former China or Stalinist Russia. And yet this is what's occurring right now calmly in current legislation. And you know, in George Orwell's 1984, he talked about children who turned in their parents as traitors, treated as heroes of the, you know, the party, the government. And this is what we're seeing going on, that children are actually being pulled out of their parents' care and being run by the state. Now, this is also going on in the United States, by the way. This is not just happening in Scotland or the UK. The MSNBC host, Melissa Harris-Perry, remarked that we have to break through our private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families. So, you know, these current stories that are happening are deeply concerning insofar as parents are being stripped of their authority over the rearing of their children. And on top of that, Starseed parents have particularly burdensome challenges to guide these gifted children through these dark times that we're living in. You know, if you desire to educate your children outside the mainstream indoctrination programs, which limit thinking, crush individuality and creativity, and demand mindless conformity of your child to a broken and what's really becoming, you all, is a psychopathic society, you know, you're going to run up against authoritarian people that are going to have increasing control over your children while you're viewed as a suspect. And so, you know, we can even now be determined to inculcate our child with one of those new concocted diagnoses from the DSM that goes something like antisocial behavior disorder. And so, you know, this is a subject for an entire program. But for those of you raising children out there, you all know what I'm talking about. And I just want to say that in the past year, I've been called upon from parents all over the world who are calling me that are struggling with ways to raise these exceptional children because society doesn't allow for this. You know, it's becoming more confining, more restrictive, more draconian, more fascist, literally. And these parents have needed to understand the child's energies, their missions, their purpose, their pre-birth chosen challenges. You know, every child chooses challenges to conquer, and they don't know how to foster the excellence and light in these children. They've come with a purpose, but the system is working against it. And so I consider this to be really my very most important clairvoyant work. It's a mission that it is in my highest priority. So I'm inviting tonight all Starseed who have children of any age, even young adults, to contact me for a session if you want to talk about your children, if you want to know how to, you know, parent these incarnating and powerful light beings that are just profoundly special. They have this spiritual task to turn this planet around. And I want you to know that you're not without guidance in your mission that you've been given, which is a powerful mission, to protect and to preserve and prepare the future of our planet through these children. We need them. The system knows that we need them. They're trying to get to them first. And so there are spiritual ways to overcome this external force. And we got to band together to do that and call upon spirit and our knowledge and also our common sense and our wisdom about how to divert systemic interference to get these children up and running. Man, they have got so many obstacles, you all, but they're very powerful.
They do have a lot of help, and as you said, this could be another whole program, but it is something that I'm glad you brought up. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That concludes tonight's news, and I look forward to bringing you more news next week.
Okay. Thank you so much, Anastasia.
You bet. Love you all. Have a beautiful week.
Thank you. Well, we have a visit here from Meg Benedicte. As soon as I find you on the switchboard, there you are. She's just going to mention about her new seminar. Hello, Meg. Welcome.
Hi, Ariel. Hi, Lavendar. Anastasia, it's so great to be here with you and all the listeners. Thank you for having me on. I'm also looking forward to hearing people's stories about working with the crystal grid. It's a part of my work as well, and I even moved up here to Mount Shasta last year to be on the root chakra of the crystal grid and working with it. And what's so interesting is it was about 2006 I started getting guidance from my master team here telling me to start to work with the fifth dimensional hologram. I didn't even know what that was. So I had to kind of learn through trial and error what the heck is this new hologram, this new reality that's birthing on the planet. And so since then, I've just been learning this new operating system that's going to be replacing our 3D system. It looks like the transitions between 2013 and 2015, these 3 years, are, as we're seeing, even as Anastasia is describing, all the collapse of the old systems that aren't sustaining us, and then the birthing of this new one. And so I've been in it for some years now and kind of getting the hang of it and still learning more and more, because we really literally have to let go of all the rules and the principles we learned as children, because they're no longer working. They're not going to apply in this new hologram. And so it's literally, you have to kind of think of like you're going to unplug from all the ways that you used to live and operate and plug into a new system at a much, much higher frequency. Of course, it's being supported by the galactic photon band that Anastasia mentioned, because it's fueling us with the light codes to get into the fifth dimensional hologram. So I got guided to create a summer teleseminar series. It's 10 weeks. We're meeting every Thursday, well, not every Thursday night, but 10 Thursday nights during the summer. It starts on June 13th. And really what it is very practical steps of how to see the comparison of what is in the 3D operating system and then what is in the 5D operating system. And then how do we unlock from the 3D and switch over and get into the 5D. So there's there's certain things that I'm sure everyone's aware of, but what I'll do is walk people through the actual practical steps to do it, the energetic activations to get into the new system, and then exercises they can do, because you really are learning new habits and new operating systems. So, for example, what are some of these? Well, in 3D operating system, we're dealing with polarity. In the 5D operating system, it's in singularity. In the 3D operating system, we live in a straight line linear sequence in front of us. In the 5D operating system, everything is in a circular spiral. And so those are big things that have to shift. And there's, you know, it's outer focused in 3D. It's inner focused in 5D. In 3D, it's human DNA. In 5D, it's soul DNA. So there's just a whole bunch of areas that I'm going to be in, all areas of our life that will need to shift, even how we support ourselves, not only with our inner life force, but also financially, emotionally, in relationships. There's all new operating systems. So this is what the teleseminar is going to be addressing, and I'm real excited to start to bring this out. And if anyone is interested in it, you can get onto my website, newearthcentral.com, and check it out. Or if you have questions, you can just email us at info@newearthcentral.com, and we'll help you answer any questions or help you register if you want to join us.
Wow. That is such a useful and valuable offer that you have, because we are shifting, and you can't,
yeah,
you can't take your existing set of tools and expect them to work. It's like the, you know, going to a metric system, and none of your tools that you have is going to work.
Exactly.
Well, this is very exciting, and these are going to be teleseminars over the telephone,
yes,
where you teach in conference, yes, with a group.
Yes, it will be just like what we're doing here on Blog Talk. It will be either coming in through the computer or calling in, and I'll have a prepared written material that people will get beforehand, and we'll go through the and exercises they can work on through the week, and then I'll answer questions and do live demonstrations of each week's material. So it's hands-on, very, very practical hands-on.
Well, excellent. Well, you know, we love your work, and we love you, Meg, and
thank
encourage
you,
everyone to go to newearthcentral.com and check it out.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I'm looking forward to hearing all of the people coming on and their stories. Thank you, Ariel. Thank you, Lavendar.
You are so welcome. Thank
okay.
you. Bye-bye, Meg.
Bye-bye.
Well, we are going to get started here with our Crystal Quest stories. And first of all, we're going to hear from Jada. Hello, Jada. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. So
okay.
Would you just tell us some of the highlights and the impact that this Crystal Quest has had for you?
Well, it was a life-changing experience. It was so wonderful. We had such a great group of ladies, and we all seemed to recognize each other, but we were all very different. So it was nice to be with so many people and feel a connection like that. And some of the highlights for me, I got some wonderful photographs, ships in the sky, orbs, light or energy beams coming down from the sky, so that was amazing. I've never really had a lot of that happen before, and found some beautiful crystals, felt a lot of energy there. And one thing that was a little different, I've always been connected to nature, but insects seemed to really have an affinity to me. I had a moth, beautiful moth, that came to visit me in my room, and had bees and beetles and all types of insects just hanging out, coming to see me and visit. So it was really interesting.
Oh, that was, I know. You had the bees were showing you where the crystals were.
Yes, they were. They seemed to lead me to some really beautiful crystals. One of the largest ones I found, this big, huge bumblebee, kind of led me in a direction towards a little pine tree, and I found this gorgeous crystal there.
Oh, that was so, that was so amazing. the bee queen. Yeah, and it was just really great to meet you too. And we did have wonderful people in the group, and we really appreciate you coming on. Is there anything else that you want to share?
I guess since the trip, I still feel more awareness and a stronger connection to not only all the people I met, but everyone else on the planet and elsewhere. I guess I feel more courage to be who I am. And I don't know, I just feel a greater purpose. So it was wonderful.
Jada, it's Lavendar. Didn't you change jobs? Didn't we have a little discussion about you changing jobs and you did that?
Yes, I did. The week after I got back, I changed jobs, and it was a great decision. It's been very busy, but it was the right decision for me, and I felt a lot more comfortable and felt like I knew exactly the path I needed to take. So thank you for all of your input, you and Ariel and everybody else I talked to.
Well, it was a pleasure to meet you and to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to meet everybody.
Thanks so much for sharing with us, Jada.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Lavendar, I want to backtrack a little bit here because I meant to introduce you first, and I got too excited. So, I've got Tammy on the switchboard too. Hang on a second. So, Tammy and Lavendar, I want to. Hello, Tammy. I'm sorry, you're on the air.
Hey there.
I just want to thank you both for the dedication and the commitment and the alignment in helping, you know, being a part of this and doing the organization and bringing people together. And it was just a joint effort that I look forward to doing again and again as we assemble more members of this soul group. Do you want to add anything, Lavendar or Tammy?
Well, this is Lavendar. I would like to add that every time I experience the land of the vapors, as they're called, the waters in the hot springs area, they just have such healing properties in ways. They touch your auric field. They touch everything about you. It's water that's been, you know, secreted away for, you know, thousands and thousands of years and not been touched by human hands. And there's just something about going to the Quapaw, which is our first day event, and experiencing that. And then after you experience that particular water and the massage that you get, then coming back, then you're really ready to receive the information that's coming in all directions, having to do with the quartz crystals up on Fisher Mountain, or just being able to rise up to the occasion to meet your roommate or meet the people that are on the trip in a whole different way. I think the waters really has a spiritual, a galactic frequency that attaches to the body and to the auric field, and it seems to stay there the entire week. So that's what I wanted to add.
I know, I loved it. I absolutely loved the bath at the Quapaw and the effects of the water. Tammy, how did it affect you?
I'm in total agreement. I love starting the first day of the trip off with getting into the waters, and it just opens you up for all the possibilities to step into your natural state. I love that Arkansas is called the natural state because when you are there, and especially with soul family, it's the closest thing to home on this earth that you can get to step back into your natural state and do what I call a stop, drop, and roll, and just stop and take a look at your life and drop what no longer serves you and just roll with all the possibilities that are presented with the soul family and the waters and the crystals. It's just a heavenly package.
It is. It's a total experience. So we have more people from our Quest who are on the switchboard. And if you are calling in from the Quest, if you forgot to press 1, would you please go ahead and do that, because we have a lot of people on the switchboard and I'm having to go through and search. And if you press 1, that'll pop you up to the top there. So go ahead and press 1 on your keypad to get you up to the top of the switchboard here. And next, I'm looking for Caitlin on, and I don't see that. Oh yes, I do. Okay. Oh, there you are, up at the top. You did what you're supposed to do. Okay. Hello, Caitlin. Welcome.
Hi, this is Caitlin.
Hi there.
Yeah, it's so great to talk to you all. I'm really excited, and wow, it was quite a whirlwind, I have to say. I mean, I think being in Arkansas was such a powerful initiation on many levels. It was great to be with everyone. I noticed how different we all were, and yet we were all so connected with the common bond of being starseed, and that was quite extraordinary to observe and witness.
I know, having people that were, you know, third dimensionally anyway, total strangers, come together and just have an instant rapport. It was very, very plain to see that there was a commonality, even though everyone came from different areas, different countries.
Exactly, exactly. I think for me, one of the most memorable experiences was when we were at the Coleman Mines and just feeling the frequency of the area we were digging in, and I just remember, I mean, I don't even think I looked up. It was like we were just going and going and going in this area, and then afterwards I was standing up on the hill next to where the shop was, looking back at the area, and I just felt all these beings over the site. It was quite a remarkable feeling to have a sense of the support that was there for the crystals, not only with what we were doing in rescuing them, but also in the energetic support that was there from the other dimensions. It felt really strong.
Yeah, well, there was all kinds of dimensions intercrossing, overlaying, and interfacing. And, yeah, that was the very, very impressing experience.
Yeah, and I just have to say that for me personally, this trip to Arkansas, which came prior to a long trip that I just got back from in Australia, was so on time in that the work that I felt I was to do on a soul level in Arkansas with the crystals supported me in being able to do the work that I was doing down in Australia, and it was quite magnificent. And even one of my workshops was during Pleiadian lineup, and during that time, we saw captured on a photograph the most magnificent ship. It was really quite extraordinary.
Wow.
And that was on May 17th that we saw this ship, and I could just feel the presence of the beings with me the whole time that I was down there, and even coming home, even more so, coming back into my own environment. So a very clear shift is happening, and a strong connection. I have one very beautiful crystal from the Coleman Mines, a big one, that I have sitting on my desk, and it still has some of the earth on it, and it's a little beat up, but it is so clear, and it just is really a powerful piece that I've got sitting there, and I can feel every time I look at it how I connect back to the energies that we all immersed ourselves in Arkansas, from the waters to just the group of people and the land. It was quite beautiful.
Wow. Wow, so you had quite the month of May, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I really did. I mean, the moment I hit the ground in Australia, it was just nonstop. I just worked the whole time with what I was down there to do. But it was so powerful, and the people who I came in, who I came to the workshops and I worked with, it was, I could tell it was just a very, very beautiful connection and opening, and a lot was happening and moving through. So I feel very grateful.
You carried Arkansas all the way with you.
I did. I know I did. Yeah.
Well, Caitlin,
this is Lavendar, and I just got an email from Pat French, who was with us in the October trip last year from Australia, and she said that she came over and met with you. So
yes,
that's great
yes.
that you got to connect with Pat,
who is putting together
a website and her work with the Starseeds in Australia.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. I mean, Pat and I, it was like two magnets, boom, our hearts just like have connected, and it's truly wonderful to have made that link with her. I'm thrilled. I'm really thrilled. It feels very important, you know. There's just something happening down there that's all birthing, and a lot is opening up, it feels like, for Australia.
Well, I'm so glad that you called in to share this with us, and hope to meet with you again in some future moment.
Yes, I do too, Ariel. It was really wonderful to meet you, and of course to hear your beautiful singing. I really enjoyed that, and just in general to have that time all together. And Tammy, of course, my big love to you, and Lavendar, I'm just so grateful to you. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much, Caitlin. Bye-bye. Well, we are going to hear from Melanie next here. Just a second, I get you on the switchboard here.
Hi, Ariel.
Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Lavendar and Tammy and everybody out there.
Hello, sweetie.
It's really good to be with you all. Anyway, I absolutely loved the Crystal Quest, and I'm going to get all emotional. That's just me. But to be touched so deeply. And, you know, I was pretty quiet the whole time. I wasn't feeling well, you know, during the time that I was there. However, the time at the spa really was instrumental. And, you know, also receiving the Crystal Balance Massage at the Turtle Cove Spa, also being on Fisher Mountain and feeling so nurtured and supported. And I didn't find any crystals on Fisher Mountain, but I felt rather like I was a big crystal, and there was an exchange of energy between me and the crystal grid, and I was very much aware of that. And so I basically just sat absorbing the beauty and the energy of the place, and it was absolutely amazing. Another highlight, I guess, would just be to be with such a magnificent group of women, and you know, it had been very long awaited, and you know, I know that I had a feeling as I was there that I was going through this huge activation, and I wasn't sure exactly how that was going to show up and manifest in my life. But I'm already getting glimpses after returning home, and then on this Pleiadian lineup, my energy shifted, and I can no longer live in the Council Bluffs, Omaha area. It's like I'm done. My house is going on the market as soon as I can find a realtor. I'm being pulled towards Hot Springs, Arkansas, but also Charlotte, North Carolina. People in Charlotte are so warm and friendly. I have two sisters there and a friend. So I'm just going to feel into it and see which way I'm guided to go. But I do know that I will be returning to the Hot Springs area on a future Crystal Quest, possibly in November if I'm not moving. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for having had the experience of being one of those fortunate ones to be invited to attend. And I just am deeply, deeply grateful to have met all of you. I know that I have other Star Family members out there that I'm looking forward to connecting with, and my heart is just so full. I just can't contain it all.
Aww.
So just know that I just love and appreciate all of you, and I miss you, but even though I know we're always connected. And so, my beautiful Star Family, the time returns, and I love you.
Oh, thank you so much, Melanie. We love you, too, and we're only a thought away.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, sweetie. Big hugs to you.
And big hugs to you, too. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there was a very, very deep and wide amount of emotion for everyone on the trip, in so many different ways. We are going to talk to Bonnie next. Let me get your mic open here, sweetie. Hang on. It's spinning. Looks like the computer's running a little slow. There we go. Hello, Bonnie. You're on the air.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
It's good to connect with you.
Good to hear your voice again.
Same here. I just wanted to expand a little on what Tammy said about driving over the border and seeing that Arkansas was the natural state, and I wondered what that meant. And to me, it was like a feeling of being at one with the magic of the moment and the flow of the moment, which to me is like a feeling of oneness, like a peak experience in my life, to
wow.
feel that way, to, you know, to like really be at home. And that has continued since I've been home.
It just keeps unfolding, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, and I've had that in the past, but it's a much deeper feeling now.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's magnified by the collective energy of the group.
The group was really wonderful, and just, you know, looking for crystals on Fisher Mountain was just like the best treasure hunt ever. And, you know, I really like to be out in nature and, you know, relating to various flowers and trees and stuff. And, you know, I had never really had the experience of, like, I've found rocks before and cool things, but I'd never had the experience of, wow, here's this incredible crystal. And so I just really liked it, and I really also like the Coleman Mine, too, but, you know, it was more of a peak experience on Fisher Mountain.
Mm-hmm. And singular.
Yeah. And, you know, then I came home, and, you know, I cleaned and activated my crystals, and they're all sitting on a cloth in my art studio, and they kind of sing to me. A few have gone with other people, but they're mostly just here, and, you know, I'm waiting to see what happens to them, but I really have been enjoying their presence and just, you know, kind of feeling like I'm living my life more on the level of who I am. And, you know, I'm really, you know, delving more into my art and feeling like it's more a true expression of myself. And so it's been very good.
Well, that is your natural state.
Yes.
That is your natural state, and it really helps to strengthen and deepen and clarify that. So, well, that's great. And, yeah, we all had a very, very huge time on top of the mountain there. But thank you so much for calling and sharing that with us.
You're welcome. Can I add one more thing?
Oh, sure.
The night after we were in Fisher Mountain, I wasn't very tired, but I kind of went half asleep, and I had this dream, I would call it, or vision of walking through this really very green forest with, you know, the floor was covered with moss and the trees were all green and beautiful and everything, and there were all these clear crystals, but they were green, lying on the floor of the forest. And you know, I had the experience of one of them being put into me. And it was really interesting because the person I shared the cabin with had a very similar dream to that. And I realized that it wasn't just like the physical crystals that we were bringing home. It was like that we had been given crystals, you know, in our etheric grid or our spiritual grid or however, you know, dimensional grid, however you want to look at it.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. The, you know, the etheric crystals, that's a really good description of it. Within you now.
Yes. I'm sure it's within everyone that's been there or maybe even
true.
Thought about going there.
Right.
But right. I just want to thank you and Lavender and Tammy and just for the courage to bring this whole thing forward, the whole Starseed Hotline and, you know, Starseed Radio Academy and just, you know, all the people that showed up on the quest and everything. A big thank you and a big hug.
Oh, thank you so much. And here's a big hug back for you. And it is our honor to be able to do this and be of assistance. So, Bonnie, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Wow. We should have everybody email us about the dreams that they've had and see what, because there could be a lot of similarity like that. Next, we are going to be talking to Catherine as soon as I get your microphone open. Okay, yours opened up quick. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Ariel. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Hi. And hi, Tammy and Anastasia, Chris Rose, and Lavendar.
Hello. So welcome, and so good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, it's so good to hear all of you.
So tell us about your experience, your highlights, and how you feel it's impacted your life. Again, you are one of the alumni, I might add. This was your second crystal quest.
Yes, it was. And just like the first, it was amazing. I know I only have a few minutes here, but, you know, I think it's hard for everyone to put it into a few minutes, you know, just because so much happens for us there. And for me, I honestly think the most powerful thing is, you know, family, really, coming together with everyone as a family. I, you know, have longed for that since I've been here, just this feeling of, here on Earth, I mean, just this feeling of unconditional love, and it so surpasses, you know, anything 3D. It's so beyond ego. It's so pure. And I mean, for me, that is such a priceless experience to be able to have, and to recognize what other people might see as strangers, to recognize them as family is, I mean, I honestly feel like you can't even put it into words except to say love. It's just pure love. And I mean, even to see, since the last time we were there, you know, to see the work that was done on the land, the energy of the land was, you know, heightened. It felt so pure. And the connection that I felt to the land this time was, I mean, beyond what I can even say. I mean, I honestly felt like I wasn't even really digging. The crystals were just showing up for me. And it was just, as you can see, beyond words. Or to put into words. And I mean, it was also amazing too to see our driver Terry from last time. You know, even the driver for our group, I mean, like seeing him come out of his shell, you know, I mean, to see even myself, really, I'm sure for all of you to see, you know, me come more out of my shell from the first time I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, is such a testament, you know, to what these trips bring to us. And, you know, I have to second the, you know, thank you to you all, really, for, you know, bringing this to us. I mean, to bring us together, this is, it honestly feels like, well, I know I've gone a couple times now, but it really feels like a once-in-a-lifetime experience, you know, to be together with family like that. And, I mean, honestly, down to the roommates, you know, even my roommate that I had, you know, hi, Jessica. Even my roommate was just so you know, in line with me, so alike to me. And, you know, Lavendar had said you use the charts to match the roommates. I mean, even down to something like that, it was just, it's divine. I feel like when you get there, you start vibrating at a higher rate instantly, you know, and then we bring that home with us. I mean, just the experiences don't seem to end, really.
Right, and that's really, I mean, the digging for crystals is certainly an important part, but I think the most important part is that bonding that you're talking about, and the experience as you go home, then you continue to have an effect on other people as you're carrying that energy.
Mm.
So it really kind of spider webs out from anyone who...
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's interesting to see that, you know, Jeanette even kind of, you know, brought the attention to that for me to see, you know, who you're coming into contact with after you leave, you know, who are the people coming into your life, you know, look at the experiences that you're having, you know, the people that we're sharing our codes with. You know, I certainly had some interesting experiences when I came home, and, you know, what Tammy said really about, and Tammy says it so well, you know, what she said about, you know, being the closest to home that we could be. She said that to me on the trip, and it really, I mean, even when I came home, I just thought about what she said, and I mean, it's so true. I mean, to be with that land, that, I mean, to be with the people that you're with, and hi to everybody, all my crystal family, I love you all, I'm sending you all love, and I think about you all, and, you know, my dreams have started again. Last time I left there, I started having dreams about Arkansas, and my dreams are back, so... You know, don't be surprised if you see me there again.
Well, we would love to have you, and it's really a great thing to watch as you have unfolded and bloomed, you know, and really stepped into your higher galactic self. Just watching the metamorphosis is a honor to be able to see that and to know that there is energy there that we left as a group on the land, and by the same token, there's energy that the land left on us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And that's...
Yeah.
There.
Really. What you say about, honestly, about, you know, stepping into your power and stepping up to your mission, you know, for me, and I can only speak for myself, but for me, I mean, these trips have been so integral for me in that really, you know, sort of pinpointing that energy and then just building it up and being able to leave there and, you know, to step into that myself. I mean, it's just really, I just want to say to anyone who, you know, feels the call, you know, hears the call, answers it, if the universe comes in to support you, I mean, you know, definitely go. You know, really, I remember the first time actually on the first trip, there was a lot of people there who said that, you know, they didn't necessarily have the resources, but the universe came in, you know, to support them, and it brought them there. So, you know, if you feel the call or you hear the call, you know, step up.
Right. Yeah. There was a lot of people that had that same experience where they didn't know, you know, they were expecting money to come, but it wasn't there yet. Well, it just showed up. And
yep.
and it's because they did need to be there. And the gates
mm-hmm.
will open. The gates will open, and it was just such a pleasure to have you there again. And
thank you.
Yeah, we have another alumni member that's going to come on and talk tonight. Nancy's here, so
love Nancy. Love you, Nancy.
Oh, it's just so good to hear your voice again, Catherine. And we'll be sending you another invitation to the fall quest, probably within the next week or so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I look forward to it. Thank you so much. It's so good to hear you all. I love you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So next we are going to hear from our gallant male champion here. We're going to talk to Cecil, who was the holding the point in the space for the masculine energy. Hello, Cecil.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I want to thank you so much for that for the CD.
Well, you're quite welcome. I would say one thing, Ariel. I think Catherine is out of her shell, all right, never to return.
Well, yeah. Yeah, she's too big to go back in that shell.
And that's good.
And how about you?
But well, no, I'm fine. I came home relaxed and really just energized from it. I know a lot of people are very high sensitive, high energy people, and have been into this work a lot longer than I have, and so this seems to affect them more than it does me. So some of them were a little bit. It's a little harder for them to get organized once they got back home because they're still trying to organize all these activations that happened up there with the crystals and everything. But it was just an honor for me to be invited on this trip. And I didn't even know about Starseeds and your radio show until last fall. And once I actually found out about it and listened to a few programs and learned a little bit about what a starseed was, I decided, hey, I need to know if I'm a starseed because I like rocks and crystals, and I'd like to go on a crystal quest, you know. So that's when I got a reading, and I was excited to find out that, yes, I am a starseed, and I'm going to get to go on a crystal quest.
Well,
so it was wonderful.
Yeah, and it was your birthday, too.
And it was my birthday, too, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But,
it was very important for us that you were there, and we honor you for that.
Well, I was a little apprehensive about being the only male with 20 some odd women, you know, but I will say that within a matter of hours of meeting everyone and really being accepted by everyone, why all of my apprehension went away, and it actually turned out to be a very, very good trip, and I just kind of relaxed and went with the flow.
Well, you did great, and you were very very easygoing, and you did go with the flow, and that's so important. You came without expectation, so you had an unlimited experience because you just didn't know what to think when you walked in there.
Absolutely, but yeah. I would say that the facilities there and the people that run the facilities. And the food that we had, everything was just, it's a resort, and it was just top-notch. Everything was just perfect there. And you put that together with the mountains and the lakes and the mineral waters and the crystals and being on top of a mountain full of crystals, then the energy is just something else.
It all works together in a grand design to...
It all works together.
Yeah, it does.
One other thing I wanted to mention is I did have a desire to see some orbs. I know one of the ladies mentioned she had some orbs on her pictures. And when I got home, I took a lot of pictures and took a lot of pictures of nighttime pictures, of the sky. And I really didn't think I had any orbs until I got home. And I couldn't even tell in the camera. I couldn't tell on the pictures until I put them in my computer. And I did have some pretty good pictures of orbs. And so I was real tickled about that.
Yeah, you know what? I thought the same thing. I thought I wasn't getting any pictures of orbs until I took it and looked on the computer, and then they popped out, and it's like, okay, maybe that's something with the camera.
We may not be up to Tammy's quality yet, but we got some, didn't we?
Yeah, Tammy's the orb queen, no doubt.
Let me mention one thing. I had mentioned it to Lavendar. I had a chance to talk to her, but when I put these pictures on a CD, and then I downloaded them on my computer, I ended up with orbs on my screensaver. And I didn't have orbs there before.
Wow. Yeah, well.
So that tells me that this whole group as a whole is very high energy, and you put that together with the crystals, and the Pleiadians and all our other starseed friends that were around and about and so forth, and we're in with a good group.
Well, I concur with that. Yeah, and I would venture to say that your life won't be the same after once you got back with all that.
No,
and
that's true.
And your birthday too.
Yeah. I am looking forward to hopefully once I will get a chance to go to another one, and I'm just very, very glad that I had a chance to go on this one. And it was such a pleasure to meet Lavendar and you, Ariel, and Tammy. I had talked to Tammy and worked with her a little bit, but it was just a pleasure to meet all of you and all of the people on the trip, that everyone was just so lovely and so nice, and I really do feel like I'm just part of that group and part of that family.
Well, you are forevermore. So, well, I want to thank you so much for calling in, Cecil, and sharing your experiences with us. And we do look forward to having you on a future quest as well. You are part of the family.
Well, you're quite welcome. I hope that that can be accomplished, you betcha.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye. Well, we are going to go to Nicole next. Hello, Nicole. I lost you on the switchboard there for a second, but I got you back now. Welcome.
Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, yes. Very well.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. It was partially my fault trying to figure out how to get the keyboard working here on Skype, but it's so wonderful to hear everybody's voices. This is amazing.
It is a great remembrance, isn't it?
Absolutely. The Crystal Quest was such an amazing experience for me, and I've known that I absolutely had to go to it, and it changed my life in so many ways. But to just pick a few highlights is so difficult. But definitely from the moment that I saw everybody, it felt like family. It was so comfortable. No apprehension in any way. It just felt like you've known them forever. Some of the people on the quest, they even looked the same as some of my friends back home here, or had the same mannerisms, or they spoke the same. It was just amazing. But one of the highlights for me was the energy of the land itself. Everything was just glowing with such beautiful, colorful auras. The people, the trees. At one point, even the cabin at our house, our cabin there was just had this huge, glowing, beautiful purple energy around it that looked like it was vibrating, and it was just so tangible no matter where you went. And everybody there was just amazing. Both of the mines were wonderful to be at, had completely different energies, but they were just beautiful. I found some beautiful crystals both at Judy's mine and at Coleman's mine. Two of the crystals that I found at Judy's mine was a little interesting. When I picked one of them up, this was in the shop, though. It actually spoke to me and told me that I was to place it into the healing waters that we brought back from the Quapaw in the Hot Springs, charge it and infuse it with energy, and then take it home and use it in my work. And it also informed me that there was a matching crystal in there for me to find as well, which I did end up finding, and I took them home. I have them here, and the energy that they emit is just amazing. It feels like the healing energy of the waters that I brought back infused through the crystals. That was absolutely amazing. And one experience that keeps making me cry every time I think about it was at Coleman's mine. It was raining intensely that day, but that didn't stop anybody.
Okay.
But I was called to look in this one area, and I started digging, and I came across a big rock. And when I moved the other rocks aside and I pulled it over, I noticed that there was a really beautiful, quite large crystal cluster there that when I put my hand on the big face on one of the points, it told me that I had to take it home with me no matter what. It had to come home with me. And I'm from Canada, so I was racking my brain as to how I would be able to get this quite large crystal home, because to ship it was almost impossible. Mm. And I am forever eternally grateful for Tammy. Thank you so much, Tammy. She tried so hard to help me figure out a way to get the crystal home, and she just happened to notice that one of her carry-on bags that she brought with her that was empty just happened to fit the crystal perfectly.
Oh, wow.
So she graciously gave me the bag, and I managed to get it home safe, and it's here cleaned and beautiful, and I brought it on as my carry-on bag on the airplane over 3 flights. It was a labor of love to get it home, but it's amazing, and I wouldn't change it for the world. As opposed to what's been happening since I got back here, I've been having a lot of dreams and really interesting synchronicities involving Arkansas. I was meditating just a couple of days ago with a quartz crystal, and I came out of the meditation and I heard people moving outside. And so I'm in the basement suite, and I looked out the window, and right out my window there was a U-Haul moving van. And the moving van, how they have states or provinces on the side of them, it just happened to be Arkansas.
Oh, my God. And in Canada.
Yeah, I'm serious. And I looked at that, and I was like, really? That just happened? It just happened. But aside from that, I noticed that there were two beings that actually came back with me from Arkansas since I came here. Some of my friends have also noticed them as well, but one of them is an orb, which I got a picture of in my apartment. And the other one is this, it looks like a little squiggly line that's kind of wavy, and it's golden, sometimes orange, and I'll just see it moving around in my apartment here, moving around. My friend has seen it moving above my head. But I'm aware that it's energies and beings that came back to work with me since coming back from the trip. But
wow.
It's just been amazing, as well as a lot of artistic things have been opening up, more drawings with light codes and a bunch of other things. So it was such an amazing homecoming, wonderful experience, and I absolutely am so glad that I got to go and experience that. Thank you so much.
Oh, wow.
Nicole,
Nicole, you are
Lavendar,
so...
I think you're going to be moving to Hot Springs, Arkansas, don't you?
I see that when I came out of that meditation and the moving van, because it's a U-Haul representing moving, of course, and it's just right there. And I couldn't, you know, that there's so many different states and provinces that could have been right there at that time. It was a clear, clear sign.
Yeah, synchronicity is confirmation, right, Lavendar?
That's correct.
Yeah. Wow, Nicole. So that is great. Well, we would just love to see you again. And if you are a resident of Arkansas or not, you know, everyone from this Crystal Quest is going to get another invitation. So the door will always be open for you.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. And I really look forward to working with you again. It was wonderful.
Well, we look forward to it, too, and hopefully we'll see you in the fall, if not at the next one then, after that. So thanks so much for calling in and sharing that amazing stories.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. We'll see you later, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. Wow. So we are next going to be talking to Nancy. As soon as I get your mic open. Hey, Nancy, you're on the air.
Hi, happy to speak with you and Lavendar.
Hi.
And Tammy and Chris. And Catherine, it's so wonderful to hear your voices again. It brings me back to Arkansas.
Natural
well,
state.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I had such an extraordinary time the first time in 2012 that I just had to return. And I was not disappointed whatsoever. It was different, and I think probably it builds the second time you go, which it did for me. I started having downloads a week before I left. On the flight, there was so much going on that I couldn't even keep my eyes open. Thank goodness I had my own seat to myself. The downloads and the colors and the activations, it almost looked like blood under a microscope moving and sparkles, so I knew there was really something going on.
Mm.
It was incredible. It continued all week, and it continued the week after. So, and of course, it was the Pleiadian lineup, too, so that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And when we landed and met the group, again, I felt like I knew so many people right off the bat. It was an extension of family, which is another reason why I went to broaden my family. And by the week's end, we were all family. It was an amazing group. I was very glad to hear Cecil on. He was our divine masculine.
Right, right.
He was fabulous, you know, the poor man with all us ladies, but oh boy, he just fit right in and got lots of hugs and lots of loving, and it was really good to have him with us.
Right, yeah, and we were... It could have been pretty scary for most of them, but he was just right there and rolled with it, and everything was just A-okay. So
he went with the flow.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I know he was changed when he left.
as we all were,
that's for sure. It was a wonderful week. An interesting part was that the crystals showed up differently for me this time. I came home with totally different crystals than I got the first time. So my collection is unusual. It's pretty broad. And I thought that was kind of amazing that they were different at each place than what I had gotten previously.
Hmm.
And I think that's kind of important.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, That's a good point, because it was different. And you know, since you were there the first time and experienced the energies, especially at our second dig,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you know, going back there, there was an improvement.
Oh,
we
had, totally.
You know, improved the energy, and it wasn't nearly so much like a rescue operation. There was
yeah.
a much more settled energy, and that's just a wonderful testimony to the energy of the group having been imprinted on the land.
Oh, absolutely. It started with the first group, and each succeeding group obviously had effect in healing the land and healing the crystals. It really stood out strongly. And one of my favorite scenes was Lavendar sitting on her mound of soil, Queen of the Hill, Lavendar, calling out Eureka! And she pulled out special crystals all afternoon long. I mean, is that a change or what? That she was comfortable to sit there and the crystals were showing themselves, and she was Eureka-ing all afternoon long. That was fabulous.
Yeah. And Lavendar, you got some really, really unusual and wonderful crystals.
Fabulous.
And I've left them for Tammy for her new place when she
oh.
moves.
Yeah, Tammy,
yeah.
You got quite a collection, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Tammy, you're planning on moving to Arkansas in the very, very near future, aren't you?
Yes, and I'll create a crystal labyrinth with all these crystals that are gifted to me.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Keeper of the land, Tammy.
I hope.
No, not hope, will.
I will. Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
Maybe next week.
There you go. And I do have to say that you and Tammy just kept everything moving smoothly and made people feel at home, and the dynamic duo for sure. And, of course, Lavendar bringing out information from the vault was astounding. It was information that we couldn't hear anywhere else. It's just a very, very wonderful week. And, Tammy, I like your new version of Stop, Drop and Roll. I think you need to put that in an email or something. That was really good.
Well, thank you. That's what I do down there.
But it was wonderful, and I'm looking forward to the next adventure.
Well, you will be getting another invitation, and every time we go, you are welcome to return. And I'm just so glad that you were able to call in tonight and share your experiences with us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Nancy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we have one more person to hear from this evening, and that is Miss Eliza. I'm going to get your mic open here. Hey, Eliza, you're on the air.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. It's so nice to hear from you.
It's great to hear everyone's voices. I can't even express my gratitude for being a part of this group.
Well, you are a part of the group, and that was that way before you got there.
Yeah, it's been an amazing experience from the beginning to the end. It's been full of joy and humor. I think you guys said to look for people in turquoise and purple at the airport, and everybody in the airport was wearing purple and turquoise. We were like, well, everyone's a part of this. And it's just been like that. The whole journey has been just sort of this signaling to me that my family is actually everywhere, and it's all around me. And since I've been back, I've just, you know, I see people, I pass people on the street and catch their eye, and there's like a look, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's been amazing that way, but just being with this group was so interesting to be in a room full of people who are all really, really different. I mean, highly unusual people. You could say outright strange, which is a good thing in my world. High strangeness, you know, these are
right.
Really exceptionally unusual people, and to be able to feel completely accepted and to be seen for who you are and what you are, that was just amazing. And to see each other that way, to look at other people and just completely accept and love them all, you know, the whole group for exactly who and what they are, and just in their excellence and in their full power. And the actual adventure itself, I'd say, was a big step in my own activation and stepping fully or to step deeper into my own power. Lavendar's directions or instructions, the information that she shared on how to go about stepping into your own power was just amazing, so helpful, so powerful, so empowering. And so, you know, from the first day at Quapaw when we stepped into the water and took our own power and sort of just moved into it, that was such a huge activation. Then the next day at Fisher Mountain, and just going to feel this energy that was like being in a giant crystal bubble. And hearing and seeing all of the beings that were just thrilled that we were there. I mean, the forest was full of fairies, and they were just giggling the whole time. And just to feel that energy was incredible and so supportive. And then, you know, going to Coleman's Mine and finding these crystals that, you know, it was nothing like we expected. We got there, and it was such a joyful process, and I had so much fun digging in the mud and pulling out the most spectacular crystals I've ever seen, and so clear, so powerful, so coated. And then just sitting in this bubble with this room full of people who are all so activated, so powerful, so self-empowered, and it was like we were marinating in this energy that it was like, whoa, you know, it was like floating for 5 days straight. And so that, I mean, we were so extremely supported. And I know that Tammy and Ariel and Lavendar, you all had such a huge part to do, you know, part of that, of supporting us and putting us in that bubble, and the land and the teams at Mountain Harbor Resort were just, you know, I've never felt so supported in my entire life in this amazing activation process. And the amount of coding that I went home with, I was buzzing for days. I mean, and every time I closed my eyes, I saw hundreds and hundreds of crystals just flashing at me and lights flashing at me. And I'm like, okay, coding. It's been incredible, and just what's happened since I got home, I mean, it's as if the curtain was lifted, you know, like I was seeing 3D before, I had glimpses of other dimensions, but I got home and the curtain was completely lifted. And at one point that was like a little too much for me, I was like, whoa, but once I sort of sank into it and got comfortable with it. Just every moment is this multidimensional experience, and I'm seeing structures and just the visions that have come with it since I've been back have been amazing. And I am so grateful to everything that everyone contributed and having the experience of being so supported and so you know, I just feel blessed, and I really appreciate everything you guys did, and I feel so incredibly empowered, and I also feel like I know what I'm supposed to do, so that's really cool.
Yeah, well, you know what, each person, including yourself, brought something to the group that it's impressed on all of us, imprinted on everyone, so that there's a little piece of everybody that went home with everybody, and, you know, the downloads and things like that may be, you know, just you would have just one and someone else would have just another type or whatever, but the overall thing is just a huge group empowerment with individual empowerment all the way around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the amount that was shared was just so much generosity in this group. And on a side note, everyone's sort of talking about their dreams. It's really funny. My dreams have been like watching television. Like, my dreams have been oddly three-dimensional and, like, clear TV, which I haven't had dreams like this in, I don't know if I've ever had. And my daily life is more five-dimensional and just seeing so many different layers. So it's really mm-hmm. funny to me that I'm having these, like, television-type dreams that are playing out, almost like they're playing out dramas of, you know, of me that I don't need to play anymore in my present life. And now my present life is just unfolding exactly in presence through love, through gratitude, and I feel so grounded. So something happened.
Well, we were just honored to have you as part of the group, and I know I will never be able to forget the energy of watching you dance while I was singing. Just absolute, total freedom, self-expression, inhibition. I mean, you just you danced your own song, your own energy, and it really inspired a lot of people. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you for singing, because without the music, I cannot dance. Oh, and your
well,
music
without the
so...
music, you better not dance. unless you're by yourself.
But your voice was exceptional, and you played some of my very favorite songs that have brought tears to my eyes for years, and you just picked all the right ones, and they just, you know, sang through my body, and I couldn't hold still. So
couldn't hold still. Well, it was a highlight for me. Well, this has been so wonderful hearing everyone again, and thank you so much for sharing. And
thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
And every quest we have, the door is always open for you whenever you feel like you want to come back. So
awesome.
Do keep that in mind.
Well, I definitely hope to return.
We'd love to see you again. So thank you so much for calling, Eliza.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Wow. Lavendar and Tammy, wasn't it just great to hear everyone's thoughts and voices? And it's like going down back into that same energy. I would say down to Arkansas, up to Arkansas, wherever you came from.
Oh yes, and when Bonnie was talking about the dreams or the vision she had of the stones being green, I just know that those were the emerald rays from the Pleiades that she was talking about.
Yeah, I kind of was thinking along the same lines. Yeah, so well, it was. A wonderful, wonderful experience from every angle you can think of, and we are honored to have been a part of it, and all we did, I mean, according, it was Lavendar's knowledge of the star markings and knowing what the star markings give you rites of passage for, so that everyone, every single person that you heard from tonight and all the people who were unable to call in who were also there, they all had the same specific star markings, and that's why when we come together, you just know you're with family, because it's from ancient times. So, Lavendar, we honor your understanding of that, because without that, this couldn't have happened.
Well, and without Tammy going down there and securing the place for us, and for you taking the time to put it all together, to put all the, you know, the business side of it, I'm here to tell you, if that was left up to me, it wouldn't have happened. I just don't have that kind of brain. And the two of you have really super glued back to back and made this happen, and I'm so grateful for both of you for doing it.
Well, it was our pleasure, I'm sure.
Ariel's the
yes.
icing on the cake.
Well, we only have a few minutes left here, and I do want to say that we are planning the next Crystal Quest. We have to confirm the date, but it's looking like early October, early to mid-October, and we will be sending out invitations before Mercury goes retrograde at the end of June. So everyone, if you have star markings of 25, 26, 27 degrees, of either Taurus and Scorpio, Capricorn and Cancer, or Aquarius and Leo, any one of those six star markings at galactic degree 25, 26, and 27 gives you the rites of passage as a member of this crystal family soul group. So we will be sending out invitations probably within a week to 2 weeks for the fall trip. So with that, if unless you, either Tammy or Lavendar has something to add, we will be wrapping it up.
No, I'm done.
Okay. You said your piece now. A little bit of Georgia slipped in there, sorry. So, well, on behalf of everyone here at the Starseed Radio Academy, Lavendar, Tammy, Chris, Fiona, we wish you a wonderful, happy week, and we will be back next week. Also, thanks to Meg for stopping by, and we will see you next Tuesday. Thanks so much, everyone. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.